Now we have Cindy Schwartz on the line. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning today to be with us on W2L News and Views. And you were here about a week ago on vacation and very generously offered to meet with some folks, agencies that are looking for diversion possibilities for people with mental illnesses from jails and prisons. And Miami-Dade has been really successful in implementing a lot of creative and innovative programs to deal with that problem, despite Florida not being a Medicaid expansion state. So we'll be really interested to hear from you this morning about how you've managed to work around some of the funding issues, and also the proposal for a one-stop shop diversion center for pretrial inmates. That's really exciting, especially for us here in New Orleans, as we're really struggling to find an alternative to building a phase 3 mental health jail. So really like to get your thoughts on that. And also, how was your vacation here in New Orleans last week?
Well, I had a lovely weekend in New Orleans, and my husband and I were with some friends, and we enjoyed all of the food, and we enjoyed the music. It was great, and I can't wait to come back. But I'd like to tell you about what we're doing here in Miami-Dade County in regards to helping people that have been identified with mental illnesses to successfully re-enter the community and move towards recovery and community integration. We know that across the whole country that people with mental illnesses are involved in the criminal justice system. This is happening everywhere. And our program was started in the year 2000 by Judge Steve Liefman. And he recognized that people that were coming before him that were being arrested for misdemeanors, low-level crimes that had mental illnesses were staying in the jails much longer. And when they were being released, they were not being released to any types of treatments and services. So he developed this project in 2000 that included a pre-trial diversion, which was, pre-booking diversion, which was aimed at developing a crisis intervention team training for law enforcement. So hopefully people would avoid being arrested and coming to jail. But he also developed a post-booking project, which was aimed at if people did get arrested, they could be identified in jail and their release from jail could be expedited as quickly as possible. But that release was paired with a direction towards housing, treatment, and services. And if people were able to adhere to a transition plan that included housing, treatment, and services, that their charges would be dropped. And this has been a very successful program here in Miami-Dade County. We have expanded to serve low-level felonies. We have expanded to serve forensic diversions. That's for people that are found incompetent to proceed. And instead of going to state forensic hospitals, they're sent to a pilot project that will help to determine and help them move towards stabilization and then release to the community with the treatments and supports that are necessary.
Okay. So, can you break that down a little bit about the, you and I have talked before about the need for mentally ill people to be in the least restrictive environment possible. So when you're talking about building mental health jails, wouldn't forensic hospitals or the kind of diversion for forensic situations that you're talking about be less restrictive and more therapeutic? And what are the long-term effects on people?
Of course, our goal is recovery for anyone that we're serving, whether it's in our misdemeanor program, felony program, or forensic diversion program. And our success has been documented in regards to lowering recidivism rates back to jail. So we've been very successful in documenting the lower recidivism rates, and also those rates can be calculated in regards to reducing jail bed days. So we feel very confident that the programs that we are providing to our community has helped to reduce costs for the county jail and have also helped to promote recovery and community integration. We are right now in plans for developing a mental health diversion facility, which would be a one-stop shop for people with mental illnesses that are involved or at risk of involvement with the criminal justice system. This will be a drop-off point for police, for people that are identified as high utilizers. The facility will have a crisis stabilization unit, a central receiving facility, short-term residential treatment, psychosocial day activities, and we believe that that type of facility will help to, again, promote recovery and community integration, provide supports that are necessary for people to move forward and lead successful, meaningful lives.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of our listeners that are, may be wondering how you all have managed to find funding for that one-stop shop diversion center. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I've been really impressed with Miami-Dade's just the amazing will to get things done despite lack of funding. So you guys have found some creative approaches. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So for the mental health diversion facility, there was a bond passed by our community for $22 million. So that was the first point of funding. And then there was an empty state forensic hospital that the state has leased to Miami-Dade County for $1 a year for the next 100 years. So for that facility, the community has recognized that providing treatments and services in the community is better than providing them in jail, and has voted their approval through this bond. We expect that this facility will be completed in the next 2 years. But beyond that, for our everyday diversion programs, like you said, Florida is not a Medicaid expansion state. So we've had to find creative solutions to making sure that people get connected to existing treatments and services in the community. And one of the ways that we've done that was to develop a Social Security and Immigration Entitlement Unit. Our entitlement specialists use an approach called SOAR, that's SSI/SSDI, Outreach, Access, and Recovery. And our staff will assist our program participants to apply for Social Security benefits if they are disabled by their mental illness and cannot work, because that's the eligibility for Social Security. Mm-hmm. We have a 90% approval rating on these Social Security applications in less than 40 days. We have broken down the myth that it takes 2 years to be approved for Social Security benefits. And we believe that this is truly a tool in recovery for people that have mental illnesses that are involved in the criminal justice system. Because you need to be able to have a roof over your head and some money in your pocket and health insurance in order to move towards successful and meaningful community reintegration.
Sure, sure. And, you know, the probably the biggest challenges for people with mental illnesses to be able to get treatment and care is housing and transportation. And so you all in Miami-Dade have also come up with a really creative way to provide transportation for folks. And I know that the one-stop shop will largely, you know, mitigate that problem. But until then, how are you bridging the gaps for people who have transportation needs that may or may not be able to afford it or don't use it?
We discovered very early on that transportation was a very real issue. Our county is very large geographically, and when people were being released from jail, they would exit the jail and have no way to get to where they were going. We were able to get county bus passes, money for taxi services. We have written transportation into any grant that we can to make sure that people can get from here to there, wherever they're going. Also, we have a county car that our peer specialists are able to utilize in order to make sure that our program participants can get to where they're going, whether it be doctor's appointments or court or Social Security. That is absolutely a tremendous help to improving community tenure.
Right. And so you were just in New Orleans. Do you find any similarities between the state of Florida and the state of Louisiana, population-wise and culture-wise, you know, as Louisiana, or at least New Orleans Parish, is looking for solutions? Looking for best practices in similar states.
Very diverse communities, and serving a diverse community in a way that's culturally competent is very important to success of the projects. Also, I think that there's some feelings in your community that serving this population is very important and that it can be done in a way that is creative, that creating a new paradigm for success makes sense in order to promote recovery and community integration. So I think our communities are very similar, that we're both not Medicaid expansion states is also a common theme here.
Actually,
you have to be able to find creative solutions in order to help this population get back on their feet.
Right, Medicaid, and Louisiana as of last year is now a Medicaid expansion state.
And I think that the real goal here is that you have to drill down to helping people to achieve their basic needs. People need a roof over their heads, they need health insurance, and they need some money in their pocket, not a lot, but enough to pay for rent, if they're going to be moving towards recovery and community integration. I mean, imagine if you did not have a roof over your head. You need to pay attention to what those basic needs are. Because even if you build a new jail that would help people with mental illnesses, they will be released to the community. How will you help them to meet their basic needs when they are released to the community? That's really the critical opportunity for making sure that people can move towards recovery.
Yeah, one of the arguments that advocates here for the people that are advocating against building a mental health jail use is that very thing, that to build a mental health jail and then to have to build, you know, a similar facility in the community seems redundant and really a waste of funding when you have limited amounts of money to spend. So I think advocates are really looking for the Sheriff's Department to put their any money that they have into community diversion programs rather than mental health jails. So that's a really interesting point that you just made. And also, I'm just wondering about there's a more difficult population, people with serious mental illnesses that don't know that they're sick or will not seek treatment and care voluntarily. Are you working on any programs or services to help get people like that care that they need? And what's going on? And that always is the issue that always comes up. But what about the people that, you know, just absolutely will not take their medications or will not care for, you know, will not voluntarily seek community-based services in order to get the help that they need?
Our program is voluntary. So people that do not want to voluntarily agree to our treatments and services can choose other alternatives. But in regards to our felony program, the leverage is that if they do not choose our program and services, they may be facing a jail term. Mm-hmm. So that's still a decision that is in the hands of the people that may be our program participants.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really difficult subject to broach because people have rights to make their own choices and decisions. We will be developing a program in the next couple of months that's called the Jail InReach Team, where we will be actively identifying and screening and assessing people in jail for diversion to the community, linking them to treatments and services as quickly as possible so that people can be diverted from jail, because we know that trauma occurs for anyone that's in jail, and it's our goal to promote, you know, community reentry.
Right. And we just have a few minutes left, but I didn't want to let you go without talking about assisted outpatient treatment as a possible remedy for people who will not take medications regularly for whatever reason. Maybe it's not because they don't want to. Maybe it's because they just forget. What's the assisted outpatient treatment program that you all are using in the jails and or in the courts? And what opportunities are available for family? I know this may be a longer conversation. We might have to have you back on. But what opportunities are available for families that are looking to get help for their loved ones before they get into a crisis and have to have an encounter with law enforcement in order to get care?
Yeah, that's a really difficult question that I think we would have to have a longer discussion for. But here in Florida, our mental health law, the Baker Act for involuntary examination, was revised last session, and now county court judges can order an evaluation for assisted outpatient treatment. Before, it was solely handled in the civil court. So now our judges that are involved in our jail diversion program can order an involuntary examination for assisted outpatient treatment. We plan to utilize that law. We are developing collaborations with our local public hospital and community treatment so that everything about that law can be implemented, and that's what we're doing within the jail diversion program. But thank you so much for this opportunity to share with you some of the things that we're doing here in Miami-Dade County. I truly appreciate it, and I hope to come back to New Orleans soon.
Well, we hope to have you back, and thank you. I know that you are one busy woman, and it was great to meet you while you were here, and we would definitely like to have you back, and thank you so much for your help and guidance and suggestions on the direction that we might be able to go in. But yeah, we've got to let you go, but we'll definitely be in touch, and thank you again.
Yeah.
Have a great great week.
Okay, thank you, Janet.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.